This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode on diagnosing bipolar disorder. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Many people who have serious depression do not respond to the available medications, or they only experience partial relief of their symptoms. And the development of new drug treatment options has been slow. Testing new medications is challenging. The early research is done in animals, usually with mice. There's a standard test that's been used since the 1970s to see if an antidepressant could work. It was used in the development of well-known drugs like Prozac and Zoloft. But researchers are challenging whether it's actually a good indication of a drug's effectiveness. Alan Yu has more.
Testing mice for depression is challenging.
You can't put a mouse on a psychiatrist's couch and ask it how it's feeling.
Sarah Bailey is a pharmacologist at the University of Bath in the UK. She's been studying how the brain responds to stress for many years. Her research involves antidepressants that target opioid receptors in the brain. The most common antidepressants target serotonin. Much of Sarah's work involves doing an experiment called the forced swim test. Researchers put mice in a tank of water that's about 77 degrees Fahrenheit for a few minutes.
That's within the range used in public swimming pools, and that's to minimize the risk of hypothermia to the animals.
A researcher will observe the mice the entire time.
In my experience using the forced swim test, no mouse or rat has ever drowned. These mice are naturally buoyant. When they're immobile, they float.
The mice can float, but they also do not like being in the water. They swim around and try to get out. This test came out of other research in the 1970s, where scientists put rats in a maze for learning experiments. They found that some rats would just give up after a while. They found that the same is true of mice in a cylinder filled with water. Eventually, the mice give up. They stop swimming and just float. But if they give mice an antidepressant before this test, the mice swim for longer. And so the thinking is that if a new unknown drug makes a mouse swim for longer, then that drug could potentially act like an antidepressant. Sarah says the mice recover quickly from the test. After about 6 minutes, the researchers take the mice out, dry them off, and put them in a cage on a warm mat.
They show normal mouse behaviors in the cage. You know, they're exploring, they're grooming, they're looking around. And after about 10 minutes, they're returned to their home cage with their cage mates.
Sarah says she does other tests as well, but right now there is nothing like the forced swim test.
It remains the most well-validated test of antidepressant efficacy, and as yet, there are no alternatives to using the forced swim test.
When she says well-validated, she means that when a new drug makes mice swim for longer during this test, scientists can be sure this means it is acting like the antidepressants that they already know and understand. Despite this, some scientists have moved away from using this test in recent years, like neuroscientist Scott Russo. He's at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. He used to use this test a lot to study stress and depression, but he started phasing it out about 8 years ago.
There hasn't been a huge loss in the type of knowledge that we gain from not performing the forced swim test anymore. It was never really clear how relevant it was to human depression and its ability to identify new potential antidepressants is incredibly limiting.
He says one of the problems is that the forced swim test actually works a little too quickly after a mouse gets an antidepressant. If you give a human an antidepressant, it can take weeks before the drug starts working.
The forced swim test and the behavioral response to antidepressants is a much shorter time scale and on the order of, say, hours to minutes. And we just know that's not how humans respond to antidepressants.
He says it's not clear if a mouse in a forced swim test is really a good analog for human depression. Another problem with the test, he says, is that it limits the ability to identify new antidepressants, meaning what if there are new drugs that can treat depression, but do not work like the antidepressants that we already know about? The forced swim test, he argues, could rule those drugs out. For instance, ketamine is a drug that can treat depression, but works on different systems in the brain than other antidepressants.
Now, as the field of drug discovery starts to pivot away from new monoamine-based therapies to other drug targets, for example, like glutamate in the case of ketamine, or serotonin receptors not targeted by standard antidepressants, like in terms of psychedelics, the utility of this test is not so clear.
He argues it's not clear if the forced swim test will help discover new drugs that could work like ketamine. He's not the only researcher moving away from this test. Broadly speaking, government agencies cited concerns over the impact to animals and how useful the test is for research. 2 years ago, Australia's National Health and Medical Research Council said they will no longer fund most research using the forced swim test. The National Institute of Mental Health in the US discourages researchers from using it. The UK government said they will look at research proposals that use this test more closely to see if there are other ways to do the work. Catherine Herman welcomes these moves. She's a veterinarian at the Center for Alternative to Animal Testing at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. 3 years ago, she worked on a paper that found researchers studying major depressive disorder in humans rarely cite research done using the forced swim test.
Obviously, if something is translatable, if it's useful for the clinic, clinicians would cite that in their papers. So that's a big red flag regarding the usefulness of this animal research for human drug development for major depressive disorder.
So if the forced swim test is on its way out, what are researchers doing instead? Neuroscientist Scott Russo says since his lab stopped using the forced swim test, they have used tests that can be done in both humans and mice. One example, train a mouse to press a button to get a reward.
Whether that rewarding stimuli be a peanut butter cup or another social mouse to interact with. And when you chronically stress mice, they don't perform that task as well as unstressed healthy mice.
And he can do the same test when he moves on to human subjects. Instead of peanut butter cups as a reward, he uses money. The idea behind this is that if you can do similar tests in both humans and mice, then whatever he discovers will be more likely to transfer over. Pharmacologist Marco Bortolato at the University of Florida has proposed an alternative called the sinking platform test. He says one of the problems with the forced swim test is that the mice fear they will drown, so there could be a lot going on besides depression.
He tries to climb out and he can't, so there is fear, there is anxiety. There are many additional components that we consider as a potential confound.
The forced swim test is like a big hammer that could be hitting several things at once. He suggests a more targeted approach, where researchers test for a specific part of depression. He wants to test for persistence, or how often a mouse will try to do something without the fear of dying. With this new test, the mouse will be in a tank of water, but there are platforms it can climb onto to escape.
The platform might sink, and then as soon as it sinks, there is going to be another platform that emerges. So, in essence, the animal learns that this escape strategy, if you will, can sometimes, occasionally, fail.
The mouse learns this for a few days. Then the mouse does this with a different setup. This time, all the platforms will sink. The test is how many platforms will the mouse climb onto before it gives up.
They stay in the tank, they swim, they do other things, but they do not show any more interest in climbing these platforms. And so what we found is that an animal that has undergone chronic stress definitely tries to climb fewer platforms during the test, and animals that have been treated with antidepressants, on the other hand, tend to engage with many more platforms, tend to climb many more platforms.
Marco explains that with this test, it is no longer a one-time life or death situation from the mouse's point of view. The mouse knows what is going to happen, so that takes away the shock and fear of drowning. He says he has tested this with two kinds of antidepressants, which is a promising start. But there will be years of experimenting before the sinking platform test or any other test can become the new standard. I asked pharmacologist Sarah Bailey, the researcher who is still doing the forced swim test, what she thinks of this alternative. She says she'll need to see more data about this test. But she also says the forced swim test is one single 6-minute test that the mice can recover from, whereas this requires days of training. So is there really better for the mice? She says that's the problem when I asked her to imagine doing her research without the forced swim test.
So we'd probably end up using more animals in tests that are less well validated in order to try to draw the same conclusions.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.